Turn on your Bibles, please, to Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3. And we're going to consider words in verse 2. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. We've already spent, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we were in this chapter, if my memory serves me right. Let's read from the beginning of chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. And it is that we're going to be considering what Paul says there concerning those in the last days. And one of the things that will characterize these days in times of difficulty is that people will be ungrateful, as it's translated here in the ESV, or it could also be translated, and you find that in the King James Version, unthankful. Now it is that I hope for most of you, this morning's sermon title caught your attention. If it didn't, then let me repeat it. The sermon title for this morning is The Ungrateful Biped. Now it is that I got this sermon title from a definition that I was reading that an author had given concerning his definition of what it meant to be a human being. And it is that he wrote this, I believe the best definition of man is the ungrateful biped. And it is that you find that sentence in Fyodor Dostoevsky's book, Notes from the Underground. And if you're that interested in it, you can find free copies on the internet that are available to you. But I wanted to give you another quotation, and it sounds as though it was just made last week. Let me quote, I'm going to be meeting with people today who talk too much, people who are selfish, egotistical, ungrateful, but I wouldn't be surprised or disturbed, for I can't imagine a world without such people. It is that these words were written by the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius, who was emperor from 161 to 180 AD. He was a Stoic philosopher, as we know, and he was the last of what the historians call of the five good rulers that ruled the Roman Empire. It is that he was the last emperor of the Pax Romana that brought about an age of relative peace and stability to the Roman Empire. And then it is that we come to our text today as well. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unthankful, or unholy. And it is that this description is number 7 out of the 8 that are presented to us here. Now, what's the thing that is the link between each of these, the two quotations and the verse of Scripture? Well, it is this idea, this characteristic of unthankfulness and of not being grateful for what it is that others or God does for you. And it is that this is the fourth of the respectable sins that Bridges deals with in his book. And you'll notice, I think, there's a progression in the way that he presents these unrespectable sins. We began with ungodliness. That then led on to anxiety and frustration. That then led on to discontentment. And now it is that he's saying that this manifests itself, these three things. Well, he doesn't say it, but I think it is that that's underlying how in terms of the presentation that he gives, that on the basis of ungodliness, anxiety and frustration, discontentment, that it manifests itself, these things manifest themselves in unthankfulness. And this is what he writes, and I quote, giving thanks to God for both his temporal and spiritual blessing in our lives is not just a nice thing to do. It is the moral will of God. Failure to give him thanks due to him is sin. It may seem like a benign sin to us because it doesn't harm anyone else, but it is an affront and insult to the one who created us and sustains us every second of our lives. So why is it that he says this? How can he say this? Because I think at the core of unthankfulness and ungratefulness, as it's not expressed, is the assumption that I did it myself. Whatever it is that has happened, I earned it. Or the assumption is, and I think very much in our own day and age, is that there's a grand sense of entitlement that everybody thinks they have. But when it is that we're being realistic, when it is that we take time to consider what it is that we've achieved or what it is that we feel that we're entitled to, these are certainly things that fall far short of our ego. For example, how often perhaps is it when you're in your late teens and maybe as you get into your 20s, you've known of assistance from your parents now for many, many years, but now you're at the point where you're turning a blind eye to their assistance, and it is that you're saying, maybe not verbally, but within yourself, you're saying to them, I'm big now. it is that I do this on my own. I don't need you anymore. I don't want to be seen with you anymore. You're embarrassing me for whatever reason that may be. And that attitude carries on, I think, to how it is that we deal not only with those who are closest to us, but how we deal with others, and eventually how it is that we deal with our Creator himself. I mean, after all, there are those who would say to us, God is supposed to take care of me. That's what he does. So if that's what it is that God does, why then do I need to be thankful to God? And yet, as we consider our text, and indeed in the context of the whole of Scripture, we see that one of the many characteristics of people during the last days is that there will be an expression of unthankfulness. Now, I find this interesting that this is the respectable sin that we've come to today. Because as it was at the beginning of the week, we were hoping to observe the Lord's Supper this evening. If we were going to do that, we would be celebrating what is known as the Eucharist. Now, even my very use of that word, I'm sure, has made some of you sit up. You see, sadly, that word's been hijacked, and for many Protestant evangelical congregations, it's now got so many negative connotations. But listen to what Paul says in terms of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11 and 24. He writes concerning Jesus, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And literally what Paul is saying there is that when Jesus had given the Eucharist, it is that he took the bread and he broke it. And it is that the word that our English word Eucharist comes from is the Greek word Eucharistio. And Eucharistio means to be grateful or to express gratitude. It's also the word that's used when you say grace at a meal. So in a very real sense, every time the Lord's Supper is observed, as we observe the Eucharist, it is that we're giving a thanks. That it's not just a memorial, but it's a thanksgiving ordinance. So when it is that Paul comes to this part in 2 Timothy 3 now, and when it is that he says that what characterizes the people in the last times is that they themselves are ungrateful or unthankful, what he's doing is he's taking that word Eucharistio, and it is that he's putting the prefix alpha, or the letter A, to the beginning. Now, we do that often in English. We can say that somebody's political, we're making an affirmative statement about that person, but if we want to make a negative statement about them, we'll add the letter A to political at the front, and we'll say that that person is apolitical. Think of it in terms of theist. We can say that somebody is a theist. It's a positive affirmation. But if we want to say something negative about them, then we'll add the prefix A, and we'll say that that person is an atheist. An atheist, not a theist, but an atheist. And that's what it is that Paul has done here. And the word that's translated here is ungrateful or unthankful. He's taken the word Eucharistio, he's added the letter alpha at the beginning, the letter A, and it is that we now have this word, acharistos, which means ungrateful, unthankful. It's not positive, it's not a positive affirmation, but it's something that's negative. And I think it's reminding us that what we need to constantly remind ourselves of is this, that thanksgiving as it is the essence of Christian living and attitude. If it is that you want to know today that all is well with you as a Christian, all is well with us as a fellowship, wherever you may be, however it may be with you, one of the things that should characterize you as a blood-bought child of God is that you're thankful. That you're not ungrateful, but it is that you're thankful to Almighty God for all that he has done and all that he has given to you. And the reason I'm saying this is because Paul tells us very clearly that being unthankful, being ungrateful to God, that is the very essence of the unregenerate heart. Of the person who is not united to Christ, of the person who is dead in their trespasses and sins. And it is in Romans chapter 1 that Paul addresses such people in very direct terms. Listen to what he says. They knew God. In other words, through their conscience, through the creation, God was making himself visibly manifest to men and women and young people, and even experientially manifest to them. But even though they knew God through conscience and creation, Paul then goes on to say, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. There it is, right at the beginning, and in that terrible section, in a sense, of what characterizes the unregenerate and the ungodly. And it is that the Spirit, through Paul, is saying, there is the indictment on the unregenerate person, on the person who is not a Christian. It is that they refuse to do what is basic and primary, and that is to thank God for everything. I mean, think on it. God who created everything. God who gives us life and breath. The God in whom we live and move and have our being. The God who has revealed himself in our conscience and therefore has given us the standard of right and wrong. The God who gives every good and perfect gift that comes down from above. He is the one and the only one to whom all thanks should be rendered. And it is the lot and the character of the unregenerate and the unsaved that they will not give God thanks. They may, like parrots, witlessly say things like, thank God for that. Or they may involve themselves in some sort of quasi-religious activity. But it is that the unregenerate do not know how to give God that which can be qualified as true thanksgiving. So, what then are the characteristics of those who would be unthankful? How is it that you consider this expression of ungratefulness to God? Well, I think there's a number of ways. First is, there are many who go through life thinking that things that happen in their lives are just a matter of luck. That it's just luck that things turn out the way they do. They think that it's a fortuitous concourse of events over which nothing has control, that just happens the way that it happens. And if it doesn't happen the way it ought to happen for them, as far as they think concerning luck, they become bitter and complaining, and life takes on a sort of sour and dour kind of meaning. And it is that they'll try to manipulate the lucky factors, as they would call them, in their life. But it is, they're unsuccessful, and so they're not characterized by thanksgiving at all. And I mean, at the end of the day, if it is that you live in terms of luck, who's to thank? You can't thank luck because it doesn't even have control over itself. There's no thanks in the heart. Then the second type of person who is unthankful are those who we would describe as fatalists, fatalists in the world. They don't necessarily think that luck is in charge, but what they do think is that there's some inexorable force out there. And therefore, there's a certain inevitability that's preset maybe by the arrangement of the stars and the heavens and so on, or some other aberration in their own thinking, and somehow it will all be forced down a certain track in a certain way, in a certain manner, and they fatalistically and reluctantly accept what is, as far as they're concerned, utterly inevitable and unchangeable. And that's the way it will be in terms of their destiny. And so they don't even argue with it. They just accept it for what it is. But again, who's to thank if there's a nameless force? If it's the case, may the force be with you. As George Lucas has been telling us now for over 40 years, that's the thing that's important, that the force be with you. But if it's just a nameless force, an unidentifiable movement that is no personhood, so there's no one or anyone that you can give thanks to God for. So you've got those who hold on to luck. You've got those who hold on to fate. You've got those whom we could term as controllers and who think that they're controllers of their life. And usually this type of person is a positive thinker. And they're usually successful people. And who, having been successful, they're not perhaps sure why it is they were successful, but they eventually reason that it's because of their own skill, and that's why it is that everything that's good in their life happens to them. They've done it. They've arranged it. They've orchestrated it. They've made it happen. They've dreamed it. They've schemed it. They've planned it. They've made it happen. They've pulled it off. So what does that end up saying? All the credit goes to them. That's where the credit goes, and no thanksgiving to God. I mean, after all, and many of them will say this to us, what does God have to do with anything? I don't even believe that he exists. And so the world's made up of people who exhibit these characteristics. It may take different forms, but I would suggest to you that these are the three ways, three characteristics that often typify those who are ungrateful and unthankful. So what is the end result of that in a person's life? There has to be a result. Well, I think that what ingratitude and being unthankful does is that it shrivels a person's heart. Not only does it shrivel their heart, it distorts their perception and perverts their understanding of life and the place that they have in life and where God is in life. If anything, ingratitude is a sign of childishness. I've seen it even with my grandchildren just recently. And the one thing that we're having to, and their parents are having to teach them, is to say, thank you. Thank you. Doesn't come naturally. I remember my mother would say to me as a kid, two things that you have to say every day to people, please and thank you. Please and thank you. And if you say please and thank you, that will help you get on in life. And there's no doubt about it. But if you're ungrateful and unthankful, it's not just a little kid who is expressing childishness, but even in our adult years, and we delude ourselves at times, thinking that we're so advanced and that we're so sophisticated by not giving thanks. But it's also a sign of something worse than childishness, and it's this. It's a grave spiritual sickness. It really is. Now, this being the case, that it's a grave spiritual sickness, you would think that it's not found in the life of the Christian. But it is. Even Christians, even the regenerate, can be found as those who are ungrateful and unthankful. And for a Christian to be ungrateful and unthankful is absolutely abnormal. It cuts across the grain of the new life, the new nature, the new person, the new you. And because it is that we so easily, even as God's people, fall into this sin of ingratitude, the New Testament repeatedly calls us back to thankfulness. And the overarching principle of this, I think, is found in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, we see these words so easily, they trip off our lips. But do we really realize the overarching principle that these words are pointing to? God is saying, whatever happens, it falls under the umbrella of Romans 8:28, and it will be by God working together for your good. And so, it may not in itself be good, but God is able to take a bad thing, turn it into a good purpose for our good and our eternal glory. Put it like this. Somebody is heading in for surgery, and it is that they're experiencing pain. And they know that after the surgery, the pain will increase. Well, in that situation, as a child of God, you can be thankful for the pain. I know it sounds crazy, but you can be thankful for the pain that you go through in surgery. Why? Because you know that after it, the healing process comes. You can be thankful for the difficulty that you go through in preparation for certain things because you know that the preparation, how difficult or how hard it may be, that it results in lives that are changed. You can be thankful for the process of pain that you perhaps inflict on your own body, knowing that because of it, say at the gym, and it is that you're feeling the lack, is it? I forget the name of the acid that ends up coming in your muscles, but it causes the pain and the sting. And it is that you're able to be thankful for that because you know that at the end of the day, you've worked out hard and your muscles will become stronger. And there are many things in life like that. As long as you look at the end result, as long as you're not just looking at the nose at the end of your face, it is that you can be thankful even for the process that's less than happy and joyful. And what we find happening is that God is blending everything in our lives for our ultimate good and His glory, so that in everything we can give thanks. The early church, what was it characterized by? By being thankful. You go to the history books, you go to the writings of the church fathers, and it is that one of the things that is often there is the expression and the exhortation as God's people in church to be thankful. And that's the problem for us. We live in a day where it's difficult for us to rise above the encroaching, a powerful culture that surrounds us and says to us that we live in an ungrateful age. I hope you'll agree with me that this has got to be one of the most thankless ages that has ever been. It really is. On the one hand, you've got people who have more than they've ever had, but you've also got people who know there's more yet that they don't have, and so no matter what they have or don't have, everything that they could have, and because they don't have everything they want, it breeds a terrible sort of thanklessness. And it is that they're pulled down the road of, well, I deserve this anyway, for who I am, for what I am, for what I do. And consequently, the New Testament injunctions for us to be thankful, and the culture and day that we find ourselves living in, we need to be reminded over and over and over again that we don't fall into the patterns of ungratefulness and unthankfulness that surround us, and that as those who are declaring that we are Spirit-filled, that we are united to Christ, that what should be the norm for us, and increasingly so, is that we are thankful. I mean, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're saying as believers in Christ, that the Spirit indwells us, then by necessity, you should be giving thanks, I should be giving thanks for everything. It's going to literally and should gush out of you. You should be giving thanks each day for your salvation. You should be giving thanks because of the outpouring of the necessities of life that God grants you. Even when it is that you find yourselves in times of difficulty and trouble, Paul exhorts us and says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So even in the times of great anxiety, of great fear, worry, and stress, as a Christian, you have to be characterized as a thankful person. Listen to Paul in Colossians 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Wow! Overflowing with gratitude. You know what it's like? The other day I'd put too much water into the coffee machine. And the first moment I came to realize it was when I saw that the coffee in the cup, it was overflowing. And it was going everywhere, and I quickly dashed to it. Well, in some ways, that's a picture of how it is to be with us as God's people. Overflowing. That the gratitude splashes out. So it's not just something that we experience and do, but others experience as well because it's flowing out from us. Are you that sort of Christian? Am I? Where it is that gratitude is overflowing for all things to all people at all times? You say to me, that's not possible. Well, that's not what Paul was saying. He's saying you should be overflowing with gratitude. Yet what do we find so often in the church? We find backbiting. We find so many negative attitudes and so on amongst the saints of God that should not be. Instead, increasingly, our fellowships should be domains, atmospheres, oceans of overflowing thanksgiving. Think of Niagara Falls and how it is that the falls rush over. It should be that here in terms of thanksgiving. And you ought to be characterized by overflowing gratitude. It should be said when people meet us, I think, you know, that's a thankful person. My, my, what a thankful individual they are. Every time that person opens their mouth, out comes thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God, thanksgiving to his brother, her or her brothers and sisters in Christ, gratitude that's overflowing. Paul in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and what? Be thankful. So if it is that the peace of Christ is ruling, being thankful has to be there. If you're not thankful, if you're ungrateful and so on, then the corollary is that the peace of Christ isn't ruling. Look at what he says in verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks in everything. Verse 82 of chapter 4 in Colossians, he says this, devote your life to it. Devote your life to praying with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote your life to thanksgiving. It's not something that's out in the periphery of Christian experience or walk, but it's something that is to characterize the devotedness of our faith in Christ. It has to be. So looking at it from the other side, I think we can say this. If you want to get in touch with the reality of your spiritual condition, if you want to begin to know where you are on the scale spiritually, either hot or cold, if you want to know whether you're filled with the Spirit, then you need to ask yourself quite simply this, am I increasingly thankful? Am I thankful? Only you can answer it before God. It's so simple, and yet it's so far-reaching. Because that's the spring from within. That's what's coming out from the inside. And if it's there, it will lead to a right attitude and all the duties that you do and all the responsibilities and ministries that are yours. Because the innermost recesses of your redeemed heart are touched where there is constant and consistent thanksgiving. You see, if you're not a person who's thankful, I think it's saying to us that you're struggling with the flesh and you're struggling in your Christian walk. Because when you're controlled by the Spirit, this falls into place. So how do we deal with it? Well, the time is caught with us. But I was reading one writer, and he gave a number of reasons why it is that we're not always thankful. Let me just give you seed thoughts as we go through them, what he said. Why is it we're not thankful? Why is it that we're ungrateful and unthankful? First one he said is doubt. Doubt. We doubt that God's word can be trusted. Not only that, we doubt God's sovereign power. We maybe think that God means well, but he can't pull it off. And anyway, for him, your situation is too complex, too difficult. He can't work this one out. He's not going to pull this off, so you doubt his sovereign power. Do you doubt God's sovereign power? Do you doubt his word? Or you doubt his wisdom? It is that you look at life, even looking at the state of Toronto at the moment with COVID-19, and maybe it is that you're tempted to doubt his wisdom. What on earth is this all about? We're living in strange times. And yet, as God's people and with that Christ-like and eternal perspective, we above all should be saying, he does all things well. We may not understand it. We may not understand it at all in this scene of time. It may not even be revealed to us in glory why he allowed certain things to happen. But what we must be 110% assured of is that he is in control, even in times like these. Second thing is selfishness. You can add to doubt selfishness. And this will really poison the wells of gratitude. This is the attitude that says, look, I don't want it the way it is. I want it the way that I want it. I'm not content with the way that God is working things out in my life or with the way it is that he's working things out in the life of the world. And I'm not content with the circumstances in which I find myself presently. I'm not content with the way that things are going on in my little world. I don't want it this way. It's not what I desire. That's selfish. And that's selfish in the face of Almighty God. And selfishness is basically saying, God, get off the throne. And God, put me on the throne. I want to be in charge. I want to run my life. I want to be the one who calls the shots, God. And that's selfish. Because what it is that you're saying is that self-will is more important than God's will. Third thing this writer said that can basically spoil the thankful heart and lead to ungratefulness is worldliness. Worldliness. When your vision is filled with trivial things, filled with pleasure, prominence, popularity, prestige, people, places, possessions, pursuits, when that's all that matters to you, it's a phrase that was said of Rome in its day. The emperors would say, just give the people bread and circuses. Bread and circuses. Give them that, and that'll keep them happy. And when it is that you look at much of modern entertainment, much of the various game shows, the various things, what are they called? The Bachelor, and so many things like that, and things of that ilk. It's basically the modern day presentation of games and circuses. The lowest common denominator, keep the masses happy in that way and fill them up with trivia and things that are passing away and things that have no substance and are not eternal. And it is that there are countless thousands out there and even over the next month of lockdown and they will be consumed with all that stuff. Because of that, they're not going to be thankful. And so it's something that we need to be very careful about ourselves. We really do. The next thing is a critical spirit. There's doubt, there's selfishness, there's worldliness. Anything that I think is in the church, it has been and always will be, and sadly, till the end of time, and amongst God's people, is a critical spirit. And here is something that will rob you blind of thankfulness. A critical spirit. A critical spirit expresses someone who is bitter, someone who is negative, someone who has a sour attitude concerning life. And it can be produced by any number of things, but if a critical spirit runs unchecked in an individual, in a congregation, wherever it may be, it destroys. It disintegrates, it dissolves a thankful spirit. That's what it does. I've seen it. You've seen it. You've known it. Because it will blind your vision, it will warp your understanding, it will make you useless to God, and it will make you a proverbial pain in the neck to everyone around you in life. It will corrode your spirituality, it will corrode your love. The critical spirit that overanalyzes everything, that needs to criticize everything, that isn't exactly the way that it ought to be. And in my experience, you can take it for what it is, a critical spirit makes a bitter, negative, thankless person, even a Christian. Fifth thing, impatience. Some people don't give thanks because they're discontent over the perception that God doesn't move in their daytimer. We're all guilty of that. We've got our day timer. We've got our agenda when it is that we think things should be done. But the thing is, God doesn't operate according to our schedule. God isn't working by our clock. And some people just can't take that. They can't deal with the process. And they'll say, thank you, Lord. I can see your hand at work. The process is slow. And so it is that I'm just asking you to speed things up a little. And that eventually leads to being unsatisfied. It's like the child throws a tantrum and says, God, I want it now. I want it now. And they want everything fixed in their world, and they want it immediately. And they cannot patiently wait and thank God for an unfinished process. So you've got doubt, selfishness, worldliness, critical spirit, this person said. You've got spiritual coldness. If you're unthankful and ungrateful, there's a spiritual coldness that envelops you, leaves you empty. You become spiritually indifferent, lethargic, and apathetic. And then seventhly and lastly, rebellion. Downright, flat-out rebellion. In other words, I'm not thankful because I'm angry with God. I'm not thankful because I don't like what he's doing in my life. I'm mad. And I'm unthankful. And I know I'm unthankful. And I'm just going to stay unthankful. That's plain rebellion. That's what it is. I've met Christians like that. You've met Christians like that. And it's amazing. Their lot in life isn't what they want, and because of that, they purposefully withhold thanks because they're just flat out unthankful. So, this, as we see, while it's a respectable sin, it's a despicable and deadly sin. It really is. And it's something that we need to be aware of. We ought to be thankful for the unspeakable gift of Christ. When we stop and think where Christ came from, what he experienced, and what he still continues to do on our behalf, we ought to be thankful for salvation, thankful for the victory over sin and death, for divine guidance, for complete provision for all our needs. Are we? Only you can ask that. And you ought to be thankful as I ought to be thankful for life and breath and the eternal glory and hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. However the days ahead pan out, whether COVID stays or goes, one of the things that I hope that will come, and even in the Bible study that you're going to be doing, the Bible study group on this sin, is that when visitors come in to meet with us for worship, that out of hopefully the many positive things they'll take away, one of the things they'll say is, my, they're a thankful people. They're so thankful to God for what he's done. Amen. Let's stand to pray. It is, O Lord, that we do thank you. We thank you for the desire that you have placed in our hearts to consider these so-called respectable sins, the desire that you've placed in our hearts to set aside time on the Lord's Day to worship your great and holy name. We thank you that as we go to our homes, that we, on this cold and snowy day, will have a roof over our heads, we will have warmth in our homes, we will have transport to get to our homes. Not only that, our tables will be covered with various foods that we will be able to taste and enjoy. There will be the love that's expressed between us as husbands, as wives, as mothers, as fathers, as children. And it is for all these things we give you thanks. For it is that we take these things for granted because we know that there are many today who do not have what we have. And it is that they are characterized as ungrateful and as being ungrateful. But most of all, we thank you for the great salvation, for the glorious redemption, and for the hope that is ours, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we thank you for this, Father. And we pray that over the next 4 weeks of lockdown, when we have spare time, no doubt, that we might be found exercising thankfulness to you as we meditate upon the great gift that you have given us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Go with us now, Father. Take us to our homes in safety. And if it be your will, bring us again together this evening for the praise and worship of your name. And it is that we do thank you for all that you've done for us in Christ. And these things we ask in his name and for his sake and with the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. Please be seated.